Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on various energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. We've used this program over the last 6 years to try to keep you up to date on the initiatives of the Cape Light Compact, which is part of Barnstable County government. We also serve Martha's Vineyard under an agreement with Dukes County. I'm John Burns, your host, a retired energy efficiency program planner at the Cape Light Compact, which is located in the Superior Courthouse in Barnstable. Light-emitting diode lighting, also known as LED lighting, is an emerging technology in the illumination business. Great strides have been made in recent years, getting them ready for commercial, industrial, and residential use. Kevin Galligan, a recently retired energy efficiency program manager at the Cape Light Compact, Steve Zimmer, account manager of OmniLight, a lighting supplier, and Ralph Caraccio, manager of electrical services at Rise Engineering, have all teamed up under a Cape Light Compact initiative to replace street lighting across the entire Cape and Martha's Vineyard. And they are my guests today. Thanks very much for coming today, gentlemen. Kevin, I'm going to put the first question to you. Why are we doing this project? I guess that's probably the easiest way to get started.
Well, first, it's great to be back, John, and good to be with you. And this topic is really exciting from the standpoint of advancing to the next level of energy efficiency, energy savings programs that the Cape Light Compact administers. And we are now turning toward a project that will benefit all ratepayers, but it's through our municipal streetlight retrofit project to light-emitting diodes, LEDs.
Okay, LEDs. And so this, initially we're going to do a pilot project. We're going to install a few around the Cape.
In the energy efficiency plan that's going through final approval right now will be to retrofit all the streetlights that are on the Cape and Vineyard. There's over 14,000 of them, but you're correct. What we're trying to do is learn not only how we select the lights and the fixtures, but how we learn in terms of people responding to the lights to be sure that they're happy with them, that they're safe, that the illumination is where we expect, which, I mean, we think they'll be phenomenal, but at the same time, you know, particularly on the roadways of the Cape.
Right, before we put 14,000 up, we might put a few up and get a little feedback on it.
So we're doing about 140.
Okay. Yeah, excellent.
That will be, with respect to each participating town, eight, four residential areas and four commercial areas, and we're going to learn from it over the course of, you know, early 2013.
Excellent. And Steve, you're from OmniLight, and your company is the one that's supplying the fixtures themselves. Can you give us a little history on street lighting, how it evolved to where it is?
I think street lighting has the biggest potential of energy savings when it comes to light fixtures, you know, especially outdoor lighting. The potential in the country and the amount that's been retrofitted to LED is probably less than 1%.
Okay.
We have such a huge opportunity to save a lot of energy. And with street lighting, I think having the better lighting, the quality lighting, and not having the maintenance involved down the road, it's just going to make for a better situation, not only for energy savings, but for the maintenance department.
The cost of operations.
Cost of operations, and you have those guys can spend time doing other stuff other than, you know, maybe maintaining light bulbs and things like
that.
Okay,
the quality of light is an interesting issue. We're actually not only going to be saving quite a lot of energy, we're going to enhance the quality of the light too. Can
yes.
you talk about what the difference is between where we've been and where we're going with light quality?
Yes, what we're doing is we're using a much more efficient fixture to deliver light where it needs to be delivered. So what we have existing, when you have HPS, you have a warmer yellow high-pressure sodium light.
Okay.
It's not a very efficient fixture. You may be 60-70% efficient. So a lot of the light that comes out of that fixture is lost up in the sky. It's mm-hmm. not getting to the point of target, which is for us is the roadways.
Okay.
By switching to an LED fixture, it's 100% efficient. It's delivered lumens. So you may have a light bulb that says it delivers 18,000 lumens. Delivered lumens on an LED fixture is a lot different than lumens that is, you know, on a light bulb spec sheet.
Okay, so not everybody knows what lumens are, so can you...
Lumens will be the amount of light that will come out of that fixture.
Okay.
So by having the lumens and having the light where it's supposed to be on the ground, you're going to get that perceived brightness, that even illumination, which basically what it's going to do is make the whole area seem brighter, We use less wattage, technically less light, but you have a much higher color rendering and a higher and a better spread of light that it just makes everything perceive.
And how do you do that? Why is it that you can do that with LEDs and you can't seem to do it with incandescent lighting?
The main reason is when you do HID, you have one light source. So you have one bulb. Okay. So that light's going to come out of that fixture, and it's just going to be, for lack of saying it, but it's just one big blob of light. You can't really control it. They try to control it with reflectors and make it bounce different ways, but the more reflectors you use in the fixture, you lose light output, because now instead of that light coming directly to the ground, it's going up and bouncing off reflectors.
Okay.
By the time it comes out of that fixture, you're losing light output. LED, we're replacing a 250-watt fixture with 60 LEDs. That's 60 individual light points that you can individually...
And you can aim them individually?
Aim them every which way
okay.
you want. And the ability of combining optical and nano optics is what they call it, but having that optical control and having the light be where you need it and having the different type of spreads and the patterns, you mm-hmm. can cover area a lot better with LED than you can
okay.
with
LED. And you know, each street light has got its own neighborhood
characteristics,
yes. right? Some people don't want them shining into their bedrooms, for instance, at night, and so you can actually have some control over that.
Absolutely, and you have backlight control if need be. So if you have backlight control, you can actually look at a fixture from a certain angle, mm-hmm. and you don't even see the light source.
Really,
so that's the biggest thing. So what you have is the ability to shoot in different directions. You have the ability to block light. We have a lot of different applications that we came into on this project.
Okay.
Very cozy, little quaint neighborhoods where we don't want to disturb the peace, but then you have big main commercial areas where you want to get as much light as possible. So being able to fine-tune the fixture to each individual area is going to be a big bonus for us.
Yeah, and if I can add, John,
sure,
the things that's really been already effective in terms of the pilot demonstration project mm-hmm. that we're learning from is... these type of nuances where it's so important that, you know, guys like Steve and Ralph will speak a little bit more to the logistics of the project, but I'm already learning that it's so important to take what the DPW managers told us about their light, you know, existing light type in terms of lumens and wattage, but you just don't go to the shelf and buy the light and replace it. You actually go out and visit the sites to just confirm, you know, all these characteristics, because the better we have that information up front, folks like Steve, we can actually specify the light that fits that situation. So
okay.
it's really been already a good learning experience before we even put a single new fixture up.
And what is the time frame on this, Ralph?
We are looking for the second week of January to start
okay.
the install. We expect to receive our first shipment sometime, I believe, January 8th to the 10th.
Okay.
And once that's confirmed, we will then schedule the installs with each individual town manage a DPW worker, and what we'll do is we're going to try to hit one town per day,
okay.
which will be 4 residential lights and 4 commercial lights. We think the first couple towns will probably go a little slower, and then once we get a system
kind of the
going,
gist of it, yeah.
the gist of it, and
yeah.
We have one of our bigger concerns would be the police detail that we've spoken to many of the DPW people with is having, once that is solidified, I think then we're going to be able to move much quicker and move through these towns one by one. And
any idea of how long a light fixture is going to be tied up, how long a police detail, what kind of traffic situations? Have you?
I believe will be about an hour per fixture
okay.
is our goal.
All right. So if we're doing 8 fixtures in a town, a day.
You're right. We're looking at about a day
okay.
a town.
All right. Good. And Kevin, how were the towns selected? For the pilot?
Well, again, folks know about the Cape Light Compact. We, you know, are all the towns formed by them and serve them. And one of the very first undertakings of the Compact, aside from its energy efficiency administration, is to facilitate the town's purchase of their streetlights that were previously leased, if you will, from NSTAR
mm-hmm.
At the time it was called.
So some towns actually own the lights outright.
The beauty of this is
yeah.
we are working with those towns and, in fact, fire districts who own their streetlights.
Okay.
These are not for those folks that are on utility tariffs
okay.
Relative to the lease of the streetlights. The beauty is we've got, you know, all the towns that are already in an ownership position. They already have a third-party maintenance contractor that the Compact facilitated. So now we're just turning to, you know, as you heard Steve mention, you know, making them 40 to 50% more efficient energy-wise. And then, I mean, many of these fixtures, once they're up, no one's going to have to touch them for, you know, over
many,
a decade.
Many years.
I
yes.
mean, really.
Yes.
So it's going to really bring benefits to those people that, you know, again, thanks to the Compact's efforts and foresight, you know, we can really harvest the energy saving and maintenance benefits down the road. And then the other thing is at a state level, the Compact participates in terms of different working group. And those, what I'll call the tariff lights, those that still are utility assets that are leased, and you know, there's many of them out there, those will all be going through a process in, I'd say, 2013 to 14 to figure that out, because there's a lot of issues with that. But
so all of the towns, whether they own their lights or not, ultimately. But you're going after the ones that own their lights first, and that makes sense. It's one less party you have to deal with, and
Fewer issues
that are involved. Now, Steve, you've done these kinds of projects in the past.
Yes.
All right. So, what was the response to the?
Well, I have personal ties. No one's ever come out and is. It's very surprising how little resistance you get, because I think that when you walk down the street and you're walking, you realize it looks nicer and it looks brighter, but no one really ever walks around just like staring up at streetlights. You know?
Right. It's something you just take for granted.
You do. Yeah. And, you know, granted, I
until
do
they burn
all the
out.
Time. Right. Yeah. People do all the time. And that's the only time you notice it. If it's out and it's a real dark corner, people look up and they notice it's out. No one ever notices when they're on. But when we've done City of Boston, we've done a lot of South Boston, it's all throughout the area. When you go through, a lot of people don't even really notice the change, and that's kind of the goal. If we could do this seamlessly and people don't notice it, and it's almost even more of a win than, you know, having someone coming in and staring. And I think the more they look at it, mm-hmm. you know, they maybe kind of get distracted and stuff like that. But the seamless transition we've had over the last, you know, handful of years has been, it's been remarkable. It's been quite surprising. It's been a pleasant surprise for us as a company. Yeah, very well accepted every place we've gone.
How are we going to gather feedback for the pilot?
Thanks for the question, John. As soon as the first installation begins, and again, Ralph will let me know what the logistics are in terms of the first town that's going to be hit, but we actually have put together already a web-based survey that will ask folks to please go to the Cape Light Compact website, capelightcompact.org. There'll be a little link to find the survey, and basically tell us the location you're talking to us about, you know, you're reporting in on, you know, pick your town, of course, what the street, the intersection is. Ideally, if you're able to go up to the pole, mm-hmm. every pole has what's referred to as a route and pole number on it, configured like a 20/11 or 7/.
Yeah, you often wonder what those numbers were on the poles, but they are there for a reason.
They're called route and pole number.
Okay.
Back to the old days when people were probably assigned routes to look after poles. So, mm-hmm. And if you can give us that number, that'll really allow us to zoom in right on the pole that you're reporting on. And you can do multiple of these. So we'd really encourage people to tell us, did they even notice the streetlight's been replaced? Like Steve had mentioned, you know, we think because we've actually chosen contiguous fixtures mm-hmm. in four residential fixtures and then four commercial, if you're really in the middle of those four, all the light's going to look the same.
Okay.
It may look different if you're standing between a high-pressure sodium
and
an LED.
Yeah, the high-pressure sodiums tend to be a little different color.
Especially on a foggy night in Cape Cod.
Right. Yeah.
In some of our initial test installs that we did, mm-hmm. we would always try to find like maybe an intersection or like a nice place where you can stand at one point, you can look down one roadway that has high-pressure sodium, and then the other roadway we would do a test site of LED. And what's amazing is when you stand back and you look from a distance and you look down a street, the difference between the LED street and the high-pressure sodium street is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, my layman's description of them is that the LED lights look cleaner somehow.
It's a cleaner
light.
And I'd encourage you, any folks that are listening, and, you know, John, if you head out tonight from the Cape Light Compact office, all of the fixture heads in mm-hmm. the county parking lot has been switched over to LEDs.
Oh.
So, you know, tonight, you know, kind of a rainy, sort of foggy night. I think that's the reason I mentioned the fog and stuff, because the high-pressure sodium does actually get cloudy looking on a foggy night with the LEDs, because they are kind of point light sources, they cut right through the fog, and as Steve mentioned, they illuminate the roadway surface, regardless of your weather around you. So I think we're hopeful. I'm not going to bias the survey results, but we think, because we're going to ask questions about safety, illumination, comfort, you know, that sort of thing, I think people are going to be more comfortable with these from a safety and a ability to see your roadway and get to your home and business.
So you're going to get this feedback. Once you've got the feedback, is that the point that you're going to make a decision whether to do the entire Cape? Is that based on that, or you're going to use that to perhaps modify some of the specifications on future, or say, okay, everything looks great, let's go for it.
Yeah, I think,
which is what we're hoping for.
It's all of the above.
Right.
It really is. We think the feedback's going to allow us to reaffirm what we're beginning to learn, that it's so important to, you know, check out those site selections before locking in on the fixture type, and, you know, work with the towns. The more feedback we get, the better we'll be able to package this up. But, you know, we're also in the throes of an effort that's going on nationwide and worldwide. You know, this LED technology we talked about 3 years ago, but now it's here.
Right.
So we're going to keep learning from what California is doing, what, you know, Virginia is doing, what, you know, I mean, everybody in the country is really doing these. And we also have experience of the quality of the product, because the specs that we require for the rigor of the light, its longevity, that sort of stuff, is also things that are evolving, because now there's more product out there to test this against. So we'll be getting that feedback, we're learning from others, and we hope by next summer we'll have the request for proposals out on the street, probably by the August, early September timeframe for bids to come in. And then next year, this time, we'll be talking about the kickoff to, you know, doing all of the lights.
Doing all of them. Steve, can you talk about what are the technical differences between the LED and the high pressure sodium or incandescent? Or
I think the biggest difference, as far as I'm concerned, is when you have the old technology, you also have that big ballast that's associated with it. It draws more power. So not only when you compare fixtures, when you save wattage, you're also saving the difference between an efficient driver and a non-efficient magnetic ballast. So what we have going for us is, I think, everything leaning forward by having the higher technology, the newer fixtures and the newer stuff. Everything just seems to always run nice and smooth, and it just never, you don't seem to have the problems that you have with the older technology. So having this new technology, having the ability to control the light, having the ability to use controls with the light, as in roam systems, dimming capabilities and things like that, you just have so much more flexibility, you know, lighting areas, but also controlling the areas. And when you add in the control with these fixtures and the abilities and the features and the control, the energy savings potential increases exponentially.
And part of what Steve mentioned is because we are going from kind of the old Edison days of filaments and
yes,
to a solid state lighting technology that I got to put a plug in, is actually, you know, pretty much been evolved, invented, and still made in this country. So this is a U.S. made, assembled product, and, you know, I think we're really seeing that we now have, you know, modern lighting that gives us a whole platform of capabilities. The dimmability, I mean, who knew that, you know, could really, because they'll flip right on. I mean, that's one thing that
don't have to wait for the warm up.
You have to wait for any warm up, like a sodium light would, or even to some extent, if they were compact fluorescents, you definitely, on cold days, you'd be waiting, you know,
right,
a little bit of time for the full light.
Now, compact fluorescents don't like the cold.
They don't. But
and LEDs do like the cold.
They love them.
They love the cold.
They
actually
really
work
do
better in cold weather.
But, I mean, by advancing to this, we've now got the capability to, you know, get them to report into us how healthy the fixture is. If the fixture is starting to, you know, not perform as it's manufactured, that has, you know, the components on board or options that the towns could select that would actually have it kind of report its health status.
Okay.
And, you know, you can picture a town that may have, you know, thousands of fixture heads, you know, rather than having somebody driving around in a bucket truck, you know, looking at the fixtures, changing them out, wouldn't it be nice to have your, you know, dashboard on your computer or your smart device to say, oh, you know, 20-11 isn't at full power today, what's going on? Or you could actually go on the converse and you can actually say, you know, that's a neighborhood that I really don't need full illumination because it's seasonal or whatever. People can actually set that to dim more, saving more energy. So there's a lot of exciting, you know, enhancements that can be available to us by going to this new technology.
And the Cape Light Compact has had some history with these kinds of projects. Now, it's been almost 10 years now since all of the traffic signals were all changed out back then, to the point where we now just kind of take it for granted that's what they are. And
if you remember our chairman back then, Bob Mahoney, he was very proud to report, I think at every, you know, board meeting that he could, because he actually monitored a major intersection in his town of Dennis, the reduction of energy use was close to 80%.
Wow.
So, you know, we continue to harvest those savings, you know, month
10
after
years
month,
later,
10 years
here
later.
We are.
So here we're looking at not as much as that 40 to 50% is what we estimate because
right.
of the, you know, delta in terms of the wattage from the high pressure sodium to the LEDs.
Plus, there was a bit more of a challenge, a technical challenge to getting the white light as opposed to the primary color lights. The primary colors are, have they been available for 20 years now, 15, 20 years now?
Yeah, I think the red LED on your alarm clock was one of the first ones.
Sure.
There's some auto dealers, those blue LEDs mm-hmm. on your dashboard,
mm-hmm.
and the over time, getting that true white or that bright white, that was the challenge.
Right.
And that's what the fixtures that we are putting in, the beta fixtures, have Cree chips. And Cree's the leader in the chip technology.
What does Cree mean?
Cree is based out of the Carolinas, and mm-hmm. Cree makes the chips for a lot of stuff. They make LED chips for TVs, auto dealerships, you name it. Around the country, they supply LED chips. In the beta fixtures, they were always using the Cree chips. So the Cree chips are rated at a higher amperage. They're able to be driven at higher drive currents, and they're able to produce more light because you can get more lumens per watt out of the Cree chips than pretty much any chip in the United States. Are in the world. So using the leader in the chip developments mm-hmm. along with the leader in the fixture, and it was a perfect marriage, and having that ability to, you know, have millions of hours of runtime. You know, we have locations all across the country, and when you go on their website, Los Angeles Roadway, all the major cities in the United States, City of Boston, TF Green Airport, Logan Airport, they all use beta LED. So having the fixture existing and being well used in our community all around, it just is that, I think it's more of a, you know, makes everyone feel a little safer knowing they're using a real good technology and a great manufacturer.
And I can add, when we kicked this project off just a few weeks ago, Steve was able to bring in a sample fixture. And boy, I'll tell you, I mean, it's a very rugged piece of equipment.
Yeah, because that was one of the concerns about what the Cape Cod environment,
mm-hmm.
Salt air, how that was going to affect the performance of these things.
The beta fixture uses what they call Delta Guard paint finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's used in the automobile industry. And they thought a long time ago, how come paints on cars last so long, but a paint on a pole will be rotting away or rusting away in a few years? So they use what they call Delta Guard, which has, you know, 10-year warranty, and it's made to be in these harsh environments. What they give it is a 50,000-hour salt and fog test, and they spray it with salt,
okay.
they spray it with fog, and they test it. And it's the only fixture that passes this particular test they use. So having all this stuff, it's made for being on the coastline.
Okay.
And if it's going to work on the coastline, then it's going to work in mid-America. And that's kind of what the premise was.
And as far as the, but the weather tightness, as far as the getting in at the guts of the...
All the components are IP66 rated, and you can't get into where the components are with
what
the water.
What does that mean? What is IP66?
It's basically a rating from the electrical manufacturer. It's like a standard that you have to meet in order to be weather tight.
Okay.
So if you're not IP66, you are literally not considered... weather tight in our environment. What we have is we have that rating, but the fixture itself is made to allow the water to go through it and helps cool it, keeps it clean. The way the LED fixtures are made is when you have that heat to dissipate off the top, they want the snow to come on top and then melt right through it and clean it. So the more rain, the more snow, the more cold weather, the longer the fixture's going to last. It's a perfect marriage for especially this area.
Wow. It sounds like you've thought of just about everything, but there's always things that are unanticipated. And this is why, Kevin, I'd like to review how the public is going to give us the final things that we perhaps didn't think, the unintended things that... How are we going to go about doing that? And if we could review that one more time.
Sure. Yeah, we'll have, once the first town installation gets underway, and it'll be through the course of the beginning of the year 2013, okay. There'll be a web-based survey, 7 or 8 questions that folks can click right through on the web.
So they're going to capelightcompact.org.
Right.
And how we'll get to the...
Look for the LED Municipal Streetlight Demonstration Project feedback survey. The other thing we'll also have is if folks are not interested in going to the web, totally understand that, just give us a call, 800-797-6699.
That's the same number they use to order their energy audit, which is they may as well do at the same time, right?
Exactly. Well, this is an energy efficiency sure. program, nonetheless. It is, yeah. But no, give us a call there. We can actually send you a paper version of the survey, fill it out, or you can just chat to us over the phone. Tell us where you're calling from. We actually do have the listing in a database of all of the 148, I think it is now, Ralph, that we've got.
Correct.
And, we can tell people, you're calling from Monument Road in Orleans, or you're calling from, the 5 roadway intersection in Sandwich, just to mention, some of the different, areas that we've got. And we'll take their information over the phone. But the feedback will be really important. We'll also be certainly, very interested in the DPW director's feedback. They're the guys that will actually be on the front line knowing, what we're doing, but also, they have to live with them after the fact, because they really are going to be their lights.
Right. As it stands right now, the lights are the current streetlight setups are serviced under a kind of a master contract.
Right.
Is that going to be the case going forward, or are the various DPWs, since we're one of the benefits of this program is that it's going to require significantly less maintenance.
Correct.
Are we still going to have these maintenance contracts, or do those go away too?
It actually will get replaced with a new maintenance contract.
Okay.
You heard me mention the RFP process that we'll be going through next summer. Included in that RFP will not only be the spec, procurement, installation of the new LED fixtures, but adding on to that, the maintenance of all of the new LED
So that'll
fixtures.
Be part of the overall bid. If you win the bid to do the installations, you also are responsible for X number of years.
Or the parties that would bid. The collection of parties might do that. And in the meantime, for those fixtures that are part of the pilot demonstration project, they're going to be covered under Rise Engineering for the first year.
Okay, and that's Ralph.
That's
so, Ralph, you got your got your team in place.
We have a team in place, and we will be ready to serve the Cape Light Compact and all the municipalities and take care of it. And if something goes wrong, they certainly have our number to get in touch with us and take care of it.
And you've always taken care of us in the past. A long, long relationship with Rise Engineering that the Cape Light Compact has had. It's been a very productive one. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming in today. It's very enlightening. I can't wait to see my first LED streetlight. And I will try to be the first one to respond to them also. Just
Excellent.
A little challenge to myself. But thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to the Cape Cod community. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to address on future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org or call 1-800-797-6699 and let us know. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. I'd like to thank my guests, Kevin Galligan, recently retired Energy Efficiency Program Manager at the Cape Light Compact, Steve Zimmer of OmniLight, and Ralph Caraccio of Rise Engineering. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Matty Dunn, the Station Operations Manager, for his good work in getting the program out to you. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, WOMR 92.1, and in Orleans at WFMR 91.3 on your FM dial. It's also streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, John Burns. Thank you very much for listening. Please join us again next month, same time, same stations. And remember, use energy wisely. It's a precious and increasingly scarce resource.